It's Sunday, the 22nd of November, 2015. Happy birthday to Tariq Black. Hello and welcome to the Red Rock Fantasy Basketball Monster Podcast, brought to you by Moneyball.com.au and Ia Gutierrez. And if you want to be like Ia Gutierrez and sponsor the podcast, all you need to do is leave a review on iTunes and you get to become a naming rights sponsor for the podcast for one day. But in all seriousness, it helps significantly when you guys do go and help iTunes when I go and approach sponsors, and I can point to them and go, look at all these people that love the show. So I'd appreciate if everyone had that opportunity to go out there and leave a review. It's obviously awesome to help me out and help the show out. My name is Josh Lloyd, if you weren't aware, and you can find me on Twitter at redrock_bball. You can obviously find my my work on basketballmonster.com, hardwoodparoxysm.com as well, and you can see you can watch these podcasts on YouTube. All right, so we're here to talk about the games from Saturday, and we're going to do a preview of Sunday's action.
Let's get to it.
Thank you, Michael Bolton. All right, the monstrous line of the night. Didn't really ever think I'd be giving this guy the monstrous line of the night this season, for as excited as I was for him to play and as high as I was on him coming into the season, there's no chance I thought I'd be giving Kristaps Porzingis the monstrous line of the night within his first month in the NBA. Porzingis played 36 minutes. He went 24-14. He dropped 2 3-pointers. He had 7 blocks. He went 8 of 12 from the field and he hit all 6 of his free throw attempts. He was amazing. There's no other word for it. He was fantastic. With Melo dealing with foul trouble, Porzingis had to lead this team and lead them to a big victory over the Rockets. He was incredible. Yet again, he's had a lot of incredible moments so far this season. This was clearly the high watermark. There was a couple of stats that were tweeted out today by a few people. This is only the second time in NBA history a player has put up a 24-14-7 line with 2 3-pointers. And it's only the second time, it's only the second player under the age of, or sorry, 20 and under, who has had a 24-14 with 7 blocks. And the second player there is Shaquille O'Neal. So he's in pretty lofty company. As I said, this is just his first season. This is the first month of his first season. He's putting up just some ridiculous numbers. 13 points, 8.8 rebounds, 1.5 blocks, 0.9 threes, 0.7 steals. He's looking like he could be a triple one guy. His field goal percentage is at 43. That could go up as well. The last week, he's shooting it at 49. The last 2 weeks, he's shooting it at 44. So 45% shooting for Porzingis is not out of the question. He could end up the season as a 16-8 guy with a triple one, and then he becomes a top 50 player. He has exceeded everyone's expectations. He's exceeded all the haters' expectations, definitely. Now, I was not one of those. I was massively on Porzingis before the season. I was just worried about what Derek Fisher was going to do in terms of his minutes. Turns out that, yes, his minutes have been low, but they're definitely creeping up. And it's becoming blatantly obvious that he needs to play big minutes on this team. He's their best player outside of Carmelo Anthony. He's clearly their best big man, and he needs to play more minutes than 26. And I think that will happen. We're seeing it trend up. He's just been really, really good. And I'm sure there are people listening who did not buy into Porzingis at all, who were Knicks fans, or there was a, what are they doing picking this guy? He's going to be trash. And I think that most people would be convinced at the moment that Porzingis is definitely not trash. And you know what? He's not owned in 100% of fantasy leagues. So that needs to change ASAP. He's also clearly the young gun of the night. And he's also the daily fantasy value play of the day. He was priced at 6,000. He put up 54.8 daily fantasy points. I used him in all my Moneyball lineups today. I cashed in all of them, missed out on in the tournament because I had Mallow, who's my other guy, who we'll talk about a little bit later. He was not good. But Porzingis was a huge help in winning your daily fantasy leagues today. The waiver wire line of the night goes to Jordan Hill of the Indiana Pacers. Hill played 28 minutes off the bench. He went 20-11. He had 2 steals and a block on 9 of 10 shooting. So that's obviously a huge boost for him. The Pacers had this game wrapped up pretty quickly against the Bucks. So the minutes were distributed relatively evenly. We saw Hill and Lavoie Allen getting a lot of minutes off the bench, 28 for both of those guys, actually 29 for Lavoie Allen. Jan Mahinmi played just 22. And Hill's had his moments at times this season where he's put up some decent-ish numbers. You know, 9.4 and 8.6 is okay, but what really stands out is what he's done over the last week. You know, 11.7, 10 rebounds, a steal, a block on 54% shooting and 78 from the line. I don't think that it's necessarily sustainable, but he's doing that in only backup minutes. So if you're in anything outside of a 12-team league, Jordan Hill is getting those consistent minutes. The problem with Hill always throughout his career is he's never been able to sustain big minutes because of fitness issues and endurance and all that sort of stuff. But he is producing at a fairly nice rate, even in those limited minutes. So I'm okay with grabbing him, even in a 12-team league, in your streaming spot. But I don't expect the sort of numbers that he's putting up to necessarily... Like, I don't think he's going to be a double-double guy for the rest of the season. I think that's the best way of phrasing it. But he can be handy in those deeper-type formats. The dud of the night goes to a man returning from injury, and that is Bradley Beal of the Washington Wizards. He was clearly limited because in a game that was close and the Wizards won by just 2 points, he only played 28 minutes. He had 7 points, one rebound, and one steal. Not a great night from Brad Beal. He did start this season off red hot, missed quite a few games, but he's still averaging 20 points a game, two threes, four rebounds, a steal a game. He was someone that I did advise you to sell high on. You can't do it after this game, clearly, because what he was doing was he was shooting at 50% from the field, which is not something that was going to continue. You just ride it out from now and see exactly. Look, he'll be better than what he was today as the minutes will go back up, but let's see how long this shoulder thing actually does bother him now that he's back. Because in a game that's... Although the Wizards ran a pretty weird rotation because John Wall only played 27 minutes as well, so it might not just be to do with the injuries. They ran basically a pretty even rotation across the board, but Beal was still the dud of the night. You can't do anything with Brad Beal unless someone still wants to believe that he's going to be a top 25 or 30 player. I don't buy that, because I just do think that his field goal percentage will start to come down. All right, that's the awards done. Let's now get into these box scores and look at them in a little bit more detail. Okay, so the first game of the night was the early game as well. The Sacramento Kings and the Orlando Magic. DeMarcus Cousins, 29 and 12, 6 assists, 3 steals, and 3 blocks. So a huge game from Boogie again. And Rajon Rondo with another nice performance, 13, 7, and 9 with 3 steals. He hit 3 threes as well, all in the first period. 42 minutes for Rondo, so he had a stack of playing time. Didn't limit Darren Collison's playing time, though, who also played 36, and they started together. So they went with Rondo, Collison, and Ben McLemore as the starting 1, 2, and 3 with Rudy Gay out. And then they started DeMarcus Cousins and Willie Cauley-Stein as the other starter. I still maintain you have to sell high on Rondo. I just don't feel that it's going to continue at this level, but he's proving me wrong so far. So he's putting up really, really good numbers and surprising numbers, but you just feel like something is going to have to drop off at some stage. Going to be real interesting to see what happens over the next week or so with Rondo. Omri Caspi had a pretty nice night, 11 and 11 in 32 minutes. He had a 3 and a steal. And I mentioned yesterday that with Rudy Gay's injury, Caspi would be a guy that I'm grabbing. Now, Gay is only day-to-day, so I don't think there's much point in grabbing Omri Caspi in most sort of situations, because he's going to go back to a 24-minute role. And that'll limit him to that sort of 14-team league area. But he's a guy that whenever he gets a chance for 30 minutes, you know he's going to be productive. Now, Willie Cauley-Stein did pretty much nothing. 2 points, 5 rebounds in 17 minutes. A couple of blocks is nice. 1 of 5 shooting is not ideal, and my thoughts still remain the same with him in terms of standard league value. Kostas Koufos went 12 and 5. Marco Bellinelli, 13 points with a couple of threes as well. The Orlando Magic. So Victor Oladipo and Nick Vucevic sat out the entire fourth quarter because they were benched in a close game. And the best thing that I can say about this is that the Magic lost. So Skiles doesn't have his hat to hang on. Oh, we won when we benched these guys. Because they lost, it didn't help them come back. And whatever reason Skiles has got, to me, it's not good enough, because these guys they're better players. You can go and put Jason Smith in. You can put Mario Hezonja in. You can put Channing Frye in. It doesn't really matter. They shouldn't be playing over Oladipo and Vucevic. For whatever reason you think it is, whether it's defensive or what it is, that's fine, but you only scored 91 points. So you're going to need some offense from somewhere. And your team is just not talented enough to consistently bench these guys. I'm not panicking if I'm an Oladipo owner. I'm not panicking if I'm a Vucevic owner. But it's frustrating from a fantasy perspective just to watch Skiles muck around with these guys. Now, one guy he doesn't muck around with is Evan Fournier, who had 17 points with 3 threes and another 3 steals. His role, his output, it feels pretty consistent. But one thing that we can sort of look at with the Magic is that Toby Harris had a stretch early in the season when he was getting low minutes and getting benched. Lord Alfred Payton, the same thing. 37 minutes for Harris today, 38 minutes for Payton. So maybe the benching has a positive effect and they go down, you learn something, whatever, you sit down, you learn your lesson, you come back, you play big minutes. That's what the hope is here. This is two games, though, they've done this with Oladipo and Vucevic. Let's hope it doesn't become a trend because it's super annoying and super frustrating. Aaron Gordon had 21 minutes, 6 and 7 with a steal and a block. But unless he's getting big minutes, it's really hard to roster him in most sort of league formats. The next game, the Bucks and the Pacers, we can't really get much out of this because the game was such a blowout that the minutes were all over the place. And Miles Plumlee played 12 minutes. That's how much this game was out of hand. Of course, in a game that's out of hand, you go to your bench guys. So John Henson, you'd think he would get big minutes, but no, Jason Kidd hates John Henson. So 12 minutes for John Henson only. Greg Monroe's in a slump. If you can buy low on Greg Monroe, I would be doing it. I don't know if anyone would go too low on him. Giannis had a struggle as well. 9-5 with 2 steals and 2 blocks. So not a great night for any of these guys. There's not much to really say, though. They got killed. That's pretty much all there is. Paul George didn't keep his streak of 26-plus points going, but had 27-7 with 2 steals and 3 threes. He continues his great form. And CJ Miles, in 25 minutes, was awesome again. 21 points, 3 threes, 3 steals. He has to be owned everywhere. He's putting up great numbers. Now, George Hill was active for this game, but he didn't play. They said he was going to be used in emergencies. This clearly wasn't an emergency situation, so he sat on the bench. He looks like he'll be ready to go for the next game. Monte Ellis went 12-5-5 with 2 steals and a block. In place of George Hill, and Chase Budinger got the start. He started off red hot, had 13 points to end the game in 30 minutes with 3 threes and 3 assists, so not a bad night from Budinger. The next game is the Wizards and the Pistons. Nene red hot in this one. He went 9 of 10 for 18 points with 7 rebounds and 2 steals. Don't get too excited about Nene putting up those numbers moving forward. Otto Porter was also good, 17 and 5 with 2 steals and 2 threes, and he needs to be owned everywhere if he's not. And 14 and 8 for Marcin Gortat was a decent performance. John Wall struggled, 8 points, 7 assists, 2 steals. And as we already mentioned, Bradley Beal. Chris Humphries had a real stinker as well, missed all 7 of his field goal attempts for 5 rebounds in just 17 minutes for Humphries as Nene got hot, so they didn't run Humphries out there. For the Pistons, the Andre Drummond double-double streak is over. 8 points for Drummond only, 13 rebounds still, a steal and 2 blocks. So overall, not a bad night, just not as monstrous as he has been. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope had a pretty good performance, 16 points with 4 threes, not a lot else, but you get a steal from him, you get threes, you get points, and that's pretty much what he is. And there was a nice game from Ersan Ilyasova, 18 points with 5 rebounds and 2 assists. He's really inconsistent, but when he gets 30 minutes, we know that he can produce it, but that's what's frustrating about him. Stanley Johnson back down to 16 minutes with 4 points and not a lot else. Probably one of Marcus Morris's best games in a while, 18 and 9 with a couple of threes, but he still requires so many minutes to provide just average production. And at some point, maybe Van Gundy gets frustrated with him just being inefficient, and that'll allow more minutes for Stanley Johnson. Reggie Jackson, 20 points and 9 assists, a pretty nice night from him as well. The Philadelphia 76ers, I thought they were going to get a win. Didn't happen. And they were playing tricks on us with the starting lineup as well. Now, Nerlens Noel, he's going to stay on the bench. Yeah, cool, no worries. He's going to stay on the bench. That's fine. Nick Minnett, he's not. He's starting. And Robert Covington comes off the bench. Let's start with Covington, though. I've probably said it 50 times, but Robert Covington needs to be owned in every league. He played 32 minutes here. He finally got his shot to fall. 21 points, 3 threes, 6 rebounds, 2 steals, 1 block. He needs to be owned everywhere, and this is non-negotiable. He's a must-own player. Make sure you get him onto your roster. Jahlil Okafor went 16-11 with 3 blocks, but his field goal percentage was poor. It's much poorer than we anticipated. He just gets his shot blocked pretty much every time he goes up, and that's going to happen when you go up against Hassan Whiteside, though, so that's sort of understandable, but not when you're going up against Al Jefferson like he was in the last game. Noel was okay off the bench in a start here, 10-8 with 2 steals, so he's getting back. His last couple of games have been a lot more impressive than the way he started the season. Isaiah Cannon drilled 5 threes for 22 points. That production is great, but it's not reliable. And TJ McConnell did what we expect him to do, not score, so 6 points, but 5 rebounds, 5 assists, and 2 steals. And he continues to have some value. He has value in all leagues at this point. How long it lasts for, we don't really know, but he has to be owned in all formats. Nick Stauskas, 25 minutes, 8 points, I don't think that he's a must-own player, nor is Jeremy Grant, who went 4-6 in with two blocks in 30 minutes, and that's fine, but he missed all seven of his field goal attempts. He's just not a guy with a high enough ceiling for me that I want to own, because he played 30 minutes here. It's just not, he's just not productive enough. Onto the Heat, Dwayne Wade had a big night, 27-7-4 with three steals and a block. The Heat had to struggle to get this victory. They ended up getting it, but the Sixers looked like they'd get their first win. The Heat would be pretty happy to get out of that with a victory. Hassan Whiteside, almost another triple-double, 13-9 with eight blocks and a steal. We know who he is at this stage. He's a top 20 big man in a punt free throw format. Chris Bosh, 13-11. He had three blocks of his own with a couple of threes. And Justice Winslow, one of his better nights. He hit all four of his shots, 11 points, five rebounds, but I don't think that's worth really owning him in standard leagues. And Goran Dragic, it's getting to the point where it's almost not worth owning him. 6-7 with four assists for Dragic. You still have to keep holding, but he's been miserable. And Gerald Green, 23 minutes. Tyler Johnson, 17. So that's the problem with Tyler Johnson. Is there going to be nights when guys like Green get more minutes than Johnson? And that's going to limit his effectiveness. So it's really hard to own Tyler Johnson in 12-team leagues. And the same goes for Gerald Green. You're not owning him in standard leagues either. The next game is the Atlanta Hawks and the Cleveland Cavaliers. Paul Millsap, he was stuffing the stat sheet again. 14-11, 5 assists, 4 steals, and 2 blocks. Just brutalized your field goal percentage, 3 of 13. But it's hard to complain about Paul Millsap moving forward. Dennis Schroeder got the start, 16 minutes for him, 7-2-2 with 2 steals. But Jeff Teague, coming back off his ankle, played off the bench and ended up starting the second half. Played 26 minutes, went 13 points, 4 assists, 2 steals, and 2 threes. So all that leads to is that Jeff Teague is going to be the start of the next game. Dennis Schroeder's usefulness in 12-team leagues goes back to that bench role, which ends up being not much. Thiago Splitter suffered a hip injury. He played just 9 minutes. So that allowed Mike Muscala to get more play. 19 minutes for Muscala. So deep league guys, Muscala can produce fantasy numbers at a pretty good rate. So deep league people will want to pay attention there. And Kyle Korver had 14 points in his 29 minutes. Thabo Sefolosha started in place of Kent Bazemore. 13 points for Sefolosha, 5 rebounds, a steal, and a 3. And there's probably a small chance of this, but I wouldn't be shocked if Sefolosha kept the starting job ahead of Bazemore, even when Bazemore's healthy, because you've heard me talk about Bazemore a lot. I just don't think he's a very good player. I don't think he's a great player. I don't think Sefolosha's a very good player either. But those guys could eat into each other's playing time and value moving forward. For the Cavs, Kevin Love, 25-11 with a steal and a block. LeBron went 19-11-8 with 2 blocks. So good numbers from the two leaders of this team. Matthew Dellavedova in a start couldn't give us the double-digit assists. 12 points is still okay, and J.R. Smith had 14-2-5 with 4 threes. And he also took the most shots on the team, J.R. Smith. 18 shots, he hit just 5 of them, so your field goal percentage would be feeling pretty sick after that. But a pretty nice counting stat line anyway for J.R. Smith. Tristan Thompson's the guy we probably want to look at the most here. He played 40 minutes, and that's likely going to be the way that it moves going forward with Timofey Mozgov out. Only 9 points, 16 rebounds, 5 assists, 2 blocks. You're going to get a lot of rebounds from him. You're going to get block shots. You're going to get hurt in other categories. But if you're looking for those numbers, Tristan Thompson's a guy that absolutely has 12-team value if you're looking for what he brings and you can afford to take on the areas that he hurts you. The New York Knicks and the Houston Rockets. Carmelo Anthony dealt with foul trouble. He played just 25 minutes, 14-6 in a really, really not good performance from Carmelo Anthony. And I know saying really, really, really not good is not a great way of phrasing it, but he just wasn't good. It'll happen. Jose Calderon has clearly got his grip on this starting point guard job. 33 minutes for Jose, 11 points, 7 assists, 3 threes. You know, the numbers he's been putting up lately, it's worthy of a 12-team league ad. He's giving you assists, he's hitting threes. He looks a lot better than what he did last year. He's not ceding this job to Jerry and Grant anytime soon. So Jose Calderon is a pretty solid guy to pick up in your leagues. Langston Galloway back to 24 minutes, a nice 12-point game from him with a steal and a block. He's a borderline 12-team league guy for me. Aaron Aflalo was okay. 16 points, which is good. 4 threes, which is good. 6 rebounds, which is good. Still no steals or blocks. He hasn't recorded one of those all season. And a really bad shooting night. 6 of 18 and then 0 of 2 from the free throw line. You know my thoughts on Aflalo. And Jerian Grant, 6 points in 13 minutes for him. And Kylo Quinn, a healthy scratch. A guy who was providing 12-team value in backup minutes is now not even playing. So obviously we don't need to worry about rostering him. For the Rockets, there was no Dwight Howard, even though before the game, a lot of DFS guys would have been going into a panic when Bickerstaff said, oh, he may be played today. People, oh, maybe he's going to play. clearly, because that's what they said, but he didn't play. So you might have taken Capella out of your lineup, you might have left him in, whatever. If you took him out, you'd be pretty pissed off, I'm imagining, because Capella went 16 and 14 in 30 minutes with a steal on 7 of 9 shooting. He's always going to be a pretty decent play when Howard is out. It's just no value for him when Howard plays. So standard league guys, it's a more of a streaming situation. Terrence Jones went 18 and 9, and James Harden went 24, 7 and 10 with 3 threes, 3 steals and 2 blocks. So a very nice all-round performance from Harden. Ty Lawson, just horrible. 0 points for Lawson, 2 rebounds, 2 assists. Not a great night for him. He took one shot in his 17 minutes. He can be dropped everywhere. Yes, 14 team leagues, I'm okay dropping him as well. Jason Terry, 11 points in 31 minutes. And Patrick Beverley should be back next week. So it'll be interesting to see what they do with Beverley and Terry. Do they put Lawson as third string? There's a chance, because he has been brutally terrible. And that is not a good turn of phrase as well, but he has just been atrocious. And doesn't really look like there's much hope for him turning it around at this point. The last game of the night was the Memphis Grizzlies and the San Antonio Spurs. The Spurs with the big victory. There was no Zach Randolph again for the Grizzlies. So Jermichael Green got another start, 8-5 for him in 21 minutes. Marc Gasol played 40 minutes, went 8-8-6 with 3 steals. So a decent night from him. And Mike Conley continues to play well, 16-3-5 with 2 steals and a block. He started off the season really slowly, but he's turning it around now. So what they did in this game, the Grizzlies, is that without Randolph, they went small again. 35 minutes to Courtney Lee for 15 points. Matt Barnes played 31 minutes for 10 points. Jeff Green played 28 minutes. But their backup wings, Barnes and Lee, played more minutes than their starters, Tony Allen and Jeff Green. So does that... what do we do with that situation? If you picked up Jeff Green in 12-team leagues, it wasn't a move that I was all that keen on. You can probably move him on. I'm not looking to add Barnes or Lee or anything like that at this stage. It's just a mess that we don't really need to be too concerned with. Mario Chalmers, this is Mario Chalmers, 6-2-4 in 21 minutes, 2 of 10 shooting. If you picked him up in a 12-team league, I don't think there's much point in really holding on. Tim Duncan bounced back from a zero-rebound game to play 36 minutes. This is important for Tim Duncan. It's a back-to-back. He played 36. He went 10-10 with 4 assists, 4 steals, and 2 blocks. This guy is a robot. He doesn't age. Tony Parker, 18 points, 3 assists, a steal, and a block. So a nice night from Parker. And Ginobili returned and continues to be a standard league guy. 15-4, 2 assists, 2 threes, and a steal. Kawhi Leonard, not as efficient as he usually is, 5 of 15, but 19 points with 3 threes, 7 rebounds, and 3 assists is okay. Danny Greenwatch, 4 of 10 shooting, 9 points, a 3, a steal. The minutes are still the same, 28 minutes every single game. He just can't get involved at the moment. I just don't know what's going on with Danny Green. I understand people wanting to drop him. I'm still holding on. But look, if it's still happening over the next 2 weeks, then there's pretty much no chance he can hold on if it just keeps continuing. LaMarcus Aldridge sat this one out with his ankle, so David West got the start, 8 points and 5 rebounds in 25 minutes. Aldridge doesn't appear like he'll be out for very long, so there's no real move that needs to be made there. All right, that is it for the recap of Saturday's games. Time for a quick break, and then we'll be back with the daily fantasy action for Sunday. I saw ya. So we're back now to talk about the games for Sunday. And reminder, there is an early game again. It is the Raptors and the Clippers. So most of the big tournaments don't include this game. We'll have a quick preview of it now and have a look. Chris Paul's been struggling a little bit. I don't think that he is a great option here against the Raptors. Blake Griffin's been putting up some pretty big numbers, but his salary is quite high. So I don't know if he's going to be the best guy to look at. I like Kyle Lowry in this situation. I think that I said, Mrs. Much like yesterday, I don't have his salary available to me because there's been some sort of glitch and I can't access the salary. So I'm basing it off memory. But Lowry's salary is pretty high. But I think that in this matchup, it's worth it. I think that he can put up some pretty big numbers. He's been playing really well of late. So he's a guy that I do like in this sort of situation. With the absence of Jonas Valanciunas, If you're looking for tournaments, I think Luis Scola becomes someone you can look at, and Patrick Patterson. I'm not looking at Bismack Biyombo. I'm not looking at playing him, but Scola and Patterson should absorb some of the minutes that Valanciunas played, and they've got more of an ability to put up fantasy numbers. Now, in the last game, Patterson put up 22, Scola had 19, and at their low salaries, you can work with that. And I think that we're looking at these guys. If I'm preferring one over the other, I'd probably pick Luis Scola, but it's close to a coin flip with these players. JJ Redick easing himself back from a back injury. This is not a great situation to go and play him. And similar with Jamal Crawford, with Redick back, Crawford's been on fire, but does he continue it? I think it's probably unlikely. Even though the minutes will be okay, the Raptors are really good at restricting fantasy points from shooting guards, so I don't think it's a great situation to get Jamal Crawford out again. The next game is Boston versus Brooklyn. This was a mess last time that the Celtics played the Nets. They destroyed them. Marcus Smart is out for this game and the next two games. So Evan Turner, he'll get a boost in his production. He becomes someone that is mildly interesting at 5,300, but it's probably too expensive for my liking. I like Brook Lopez. He's a center that's priced at $8,000. He's been putting up some fairly consistent numbers, averaging 34.8 over his last five. I think he can go a little bit higher than that in this matchup. The Celtics are sort of a break-even team in terms of opposition center, so he's someone that we can have a look at. And I like Jared Sullinger at 6,000. His last game, he only put up 19, but that was because the game was such a blowout. I don't think we're going to see Boston destroy the Nets by that much again this time. I'd be a bit surprised. But there's always that possibility that happens. The Celtics are only favored here by 5. We've got a good total of 204.5. I like Sullinger a lot. I think that Isaiah Thomas at 7,500 is a really good guy to have a look at as well. And Thad Young is someone that I could get behind at 6,400 too. He's been averaging 36 over his last three. The salary has risen. He was at 58 for quite a while. It's risen a lot. I still think that even at 6,400 that he is worth looking at. Joe Johnson, we really can't use. Jarrett Jack at 6,300. I'm okay with using him, especially without Marcus Smart around. Now, the Celtics are really bad for opposition point guards, but without Marcus Smart, maybe he gets a little bit more space with Isaiah Thomas and Evan Turner and Avery Bradley guarding him. Bradley's a pretty good defender himself, but it's not the same as having the 1-2 punch of having Smart and Bradley on him. So in a normal situation, I'd be like, yeah, I don't think we really want to use Jarrett Jack here, but he gets a little bit more of a bump with Marcus Smart sitting. Avery Bradley's been really good off the bench at 5,800. If you think that he's going to get extra run with Marcus Smart out, we can definitely look to use him. He's averaging almost 30 points over his last three, and he's a big chance to do it again. So I don't mind Avery Bradley in this one. The Phoenix Suns, the New Orleans Pelicans are up next. The Pelicans are favored by 1. We've got a big total, 211 in this game. Eric Gordon at 6,000 was a little bit quiet in the last game. I think that he's still really valuable at 6,000. And for the Pelicans, Anthony Davis at 10,800. It's an expensive price. He put up 49 in the last game without playing well. I think that he's in line for a pretty decent performance. So if you're looking to spend big, I like Anthony Davis here. Brandon Knight's had a huge salary increase. He's up to $8,000. It's going to make it hard to roster him. Now, he is averaging 53.8 over his last three, which is clearly awesome. It's 43 over the last five. You can use him, but at some point, something's going to drop for him. I don't think the Pelicans is the team to really shut him down, though. It's not like they have great guards to really shut him down, but you've got to weigh that up. That salary has risen so much. Do I continue to use Brandon Knight? Eric Bledsoe at 8,400, I'd be happy using him. He's been a little bit quiet lately with Knight exploding. I think that maybe we see a switch a little bit back to Bledsoe here, but both of those guys are pretty okay guys to run out there. In a tournament, Markieff Morris has been really struggling, definitely. At 5,300, though, that salary is probably not going to get much lower than that this season. And if he just pops in a 25.9, I think you'd be pretty happy. It's hard to rely upon him, though, so that's why I'm only suggesting it for tournaments. Ish Smith, massive game in the last one, 39 points, even with Drew Holiday playing. Do you think he can do that again? I probably don't. Maybe I'm in the minority, but I don't think I'd be relying on him. And Ryan Anderson is another guy who's been killing it lately. 38 points over his last three, but a couple of those were without Anthony Davis. So at 6,600, not sure I want to get involved in the Ryan Anderson game. Dallas and OKC is up next. We don't know. There's no spread for this one. We don't know if Kevin Durant is going to play. He is considered questionable at the moment. So obviously Kevin Durant, if he plays, he changes a lot of things on the Thunder side of things. Serge Ibaka is at 6,600 currently, which is not a bad price, but he has been struggling, and the return of Durant means I am going to be steering clear of him at that price. Zaza Pachulia been on fire lately, averaging 27 over his last three at $6,000. It's okay for him. I don't mind it as a matchup for him. Definitely not high in my must own sort of category. And Darren Williams at 6,600 has been just destroying teams lately. Oddly enough, 35 is averaging over his last three. So I'm okay with rostering Darren Williams. A cheap option is JJ Barea at only 3,700. He dropped 20 points in the last game. He's averaging 14 points over his last five, and at 3,700, if he gives you 14 or if he gives you 16 or 17 points, it's not a bad return, but it's probably only for tournaments. Wes Matthews, I'm just not keen on him, averaging only 16, and he's at 4,700. The price is low, but it still doesn't mean I'm that interested. Russell Westbrook at 11,900, that is way too expensive if Kevin Durant is playing, so I'd be clearly avoiding him. And Kevin Durant at 10,300, first game back from a hamstring, I don't think I want to spend that money on him. Obviously, things change if Durant is out, then maybe I do consider 11,900 for Westbrook. Maybe I look at Deion Waiters, but at this point, you know, everything, assuming that Durant is playing, we'll just be leaving most of those Thunder guys alone. The Golden State Warriors and the Denver Nuggets are up next. We know that Joffrey Lavernier is out for the Nuggets. We know that Kenneth Reed is questionable with an ankle sprain. The game has no spread at the moment. There's a sneaky chance for the Warriors to lose this one. Traveling to altitude with an undermanned Nuggets team? Probably not, but there is a sneaky chance here that the Warriors get into some difficulties. I think there's a lot of daily fantasy value in this one, though. Klay Thompson at 6,300. At some point, you think he's going to have a good game. The Nuggets are just horrendous at guarding opposition shooting guards, so maybe this is the day that at 6,300, Thompson really takes advantage of the situation. Festus Ezeli at 4,400. I don't mind him. He's been putting up 22 points across his last three, and that's even with Bogut back, so I don't mind him in that spot. Andre Iguodala at 4,700 has been consistent. Draymond Green at 7,800 has been pretty good as well. So all these guys, I think, are in line for some pretty nice nights. Harrison Barnes is an okay play as well. A lot of the Warriors players are worth having a look at. Steph Curry is now over 11,000, 11,100. Can he put up 50? You'd think there's a pretty good chance that he can. So I'm okay with rostering. I'm happier rostering Steph Curry at 11,100 than I am with Westbrook at 11,900 at this point. Emmanuel Mudiay had a really big game in the last one, 39 points at 6,100. I think that he's in a good spot again to do that from a daily fantasy point of view. And Gary Harris has been coming on strong lately. He's at 4,100, so you can look at him in some tournaments. He's been putting up some nice numbers. And Nikola Jokic, with Lavernier out, you'd think that Jokic will get another start. He did struggle in the last game, but at 4,000, it's not a bad guy to have a look at in a tournament. Same with Will Barton at 5,300, who's been really good, a lot better than a lot of people, including myself, thought he was capable of. There's always the chance that it doesn't work out, but I think that Will Barton is not a bad guy to have a look at that sort of mid-range salary. The last game of the day is the Portland Trailblazers and the Los Angeles Lakers. The Blazers are favored by 3 with a total of 203 points. Julius Randle comes in at 5,700. I think that's a bit underpriced for him. I like him in this situation against a Blazers lineup who is missing, obviously, their starting power forward. I like Al-Farouq Aminu at 6,000. I like CJ McCollum at 6,400. And I like Mason Plumlee at 5,700. I think all those guys are putting up some nice numbers. Ed Davis put up some really big numbers in the last game. This is a similar situation. Julius Randle is not Blake Griffin, but he's sort of a similar size to Blake Griffin, a similar sort of player. And they went with Vonleh and then Ed Davis and Mason Plumlee together a lot. So maybe Davis gets a little bit of boost in numbers. And we know the Lakers are not great at defending big men. So at 4,500, maybe Ed Davis puts up some nice numbers. Jordan Clarkson, D'Angelo Russell, it's really hard to trust them and to trust Byron Scott. So hard for me to recommend them. And if you're in a tournament, Noah Vonleh would likely get a start. He's at 3,500. It's minimum salary. He really hasn't lived up to any sort of expectations so far. But again, he's playing the Lakers, so maybe he can play 20 minutes and put up 20 points. There is a chance of that happening. I probably won't roster him, but at minimum salary and as a starter, there's an opportunity there. Damian Lillard's priced at 9,000. He's not a bad guy to have a look at that price. He's averaging 38 over the last three, which is probably not enough. You hope that the Lakers can allow him to put up a much bigger line than what he has been doing. All right, let's look at the daily fantasy picks for the day. And now I've actually got the graphic right, so that's great. At point guard, JJ Breyer at 3,700, Emmanuel Mudiay at 6,100, and Isaiah Thomas at 7,500. Shooting guards, I like Gary Harris at 41, who I mentioned, Eric Gordon at 6,000, and Eric Bledsoe at 8,400 is the high price guy. Small forwards, Andre Iguodala at 47, Al-Farouq Aminu at 6,000, and there's no one that I like in the high price range. I mentioned Kevin Durant before, but I don't think I'm getting involved with him. At power forwards, Ed Davis, 45, Julius Randle, 5,700, and then Draymond Green at 7,800. And at center, Festus Ezeli, 4,400, Mason Plumlee, 5,700, and Brook Lopez comes in at $8,000. That's it, guys, for today's podcast. Make sure you are subscribing, rating, and reviewing, and you can be a sponsor of the podcast if you do those things. Make sure you're checking out hardwoodparoxysm.com and basketballmonster.com and following me on Twitter at redrock_bball. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. See ya.